Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
You know, I listen to Bickley and Murata. Terrific show, by the way. I really enjoy it.
Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
To the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sportsman. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning. Happy Friday, Valley sports fans. We have all made it to the end of another long week. We have a weekend of intrigue and excitement and drama and suspense ahead of us. But enough about the Kentucky Derby.
Yo.
Hi, Vinny.
You got your hat ready to go, Beck?
Do you, have you guys been seeing what's going on at the Kentucky Derby this week?
With all the horses.
Dead horses.
Yeah.
Horses freaking out. Yeah, there's
every year when a light gets shown on that sport, I just think, oh, should we still be doing this?
Doesn't it really like bring out and make you feel that we're really awful? People are the worst humans. I say it all the time, right?
Statistically speaking, when
you drug up horses and put animals at risk for financial gain like that, isn't that just disgusting?
In a word, yes.
So I don't know if you've been reading about this, but one horse wigged out in its barn, flipped over multiple times, broke its neck.
I didn't read that story.
Another horse flipped its rider and came running at the stables full speed, scared the heck out of everybody. The horse skidded over the asphalt and into a car. This is all happening.
All right.
They're gooped up on the moon juice, Jared, is what I'm trying to say.
They're mooned up on the goon juice.
They're mooned up on the goon juice.
Can I throw myself into the pool of the worst human beings?
Oh.
What you just described makes me want to watch the Derby even more.
Oh, right.
This could be exciting.
Yeah. No, but Sarah's right. Every time they shine a light a little too bright on that sport, it's...
You do wonder. I mean, I guess there's too much money in it or something, because you know the whole thing with SeaWorld and Shamu and the whales event, that was a thing like sort of simmering underneath for so many years, and finally it got like all this attention, and then they stopped doing it. The horse thing, every time there's like a TV show or a movie that has a lot of horses, you start hearing about these things about these horses dying, and then there's a big uproar. And then it sort of goes away, and then they still have all these things with horses.
Yeah,
And
to all of that. I read something else that blew my mind. Secretariat, the famous fabled horse, has only 6 offspring left. Did you read this?
Didn't read that. You've been doing way more horse racing reading than I have.
Right. This is the Michael Jordan of horses.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
Yeah.
The horse girl. You're the horse girl.
We all know horse girl, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in Cave Creek. They were all horse girls.
Yes. Right, let me finish.
Did you have
my
a side
story.
Braid?
Only 6 progeny left from Secretariat. None of these horses have ever done anything. So it's like a dude who's really successful having a bunch of kids.
Like Michael Jordan's kid.
Like, yeah, Jeffrey Jordan or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
One that played for
Marcus
Illinois.
Marcus Jordan, right?
Did you walk onto a D2 program or something?
Is one of those horses dating Larsa Pippen?
Larsa Man of War or whatever.
All right, we've wasted enough time. Start the show, Jarrett.
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yes, at long last, it's game night in the Valley. Game 3 of the Western Conference semifinals. We'll see the Phoenix Suns down 0-2 hosting the Denver Nuggets tonight at Footprint Center. It's the first time in the 3-year Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Monty Williams playoff run that the Suns have been down 0-2. But it's also the first time in that run they haven't had home court advantage. The Suns made it official yesterday. Point guard Chris Paul is out tonight with a groin strain. Tip-off just after 7 o'clock with extended pregame coverage starting at 6 when Tim Ring hosts the Arizona Sports Playoffs Preview Special. You can catch all the action on the Arizona Sports app and 98.7.
Oh, yeah. Huge game tonight, quite obviously, Vinny. You lose this one, there's not going to be a whole lot of belief left around the Valley, right?
You win this one and you multiply the belief tenfold.
Exactly. And on top of it, it's happening on a Friday night, which is always a very weird night for a major sporting event.
It is.
Leading into a weekend. Yeah, so.
Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Golden State Warriors tied things up in their series against the Lakers with a 127-100 cakewalk. Safest bet in sports. Mm-hmm. Golden State outscored L.A. 84-47 over the second and third quarters. Klay Thompson went nutty with 30 points, including 8 three-pointers. Steph Curry didn't have to do much, but had 20 points and 12 assists in evening up that series. And I guess, can we have the discussion today about whether or not we take Anthony Davis's number down from the rafters after that game?
I mean, they could've.
That's not even a shot at Anthony Davis. That's a shot on the...
We said it yesterday, though. The odds of him just putting two games good back to... I don't know why he can't have that same energy and effort two games in a row. It's amazing.
It's a great question. Tonight, there's only one other game on the schedule. Game 3, Celtics, 76ers in Philadelphia. Those two teams knotted up at 1-1. That game tips off at 4:30 on ESPN from the Wells Fargo Center. Sad news to pass along. Former Suns GM Lance Blanks has passed away at the age of 56. After a standout career at the University of Texas, Blanks was a first-round pick of the Pistons in 1990. Spent 3 seasons in the league, played overseas for a while, then spent 3 years as the Suns GM from 2010 to 2013, and most recently was an analyst for Texas basketball on the Longhorn Network.
Yeah, that's only 56 years old. That's
sad story.
That's jarring.
Yep. The speculation turned out to be reality in Milwaukee as the Bucks have fired head coach Mike Budenholzer after a 5-game first-round playoff exit against the 8th-seeded Miami Heat. Budenholzer coached the Bucks for 5 seasons and had 5 playoff appearances, winning the franchise's second NBA title in 2021. Milwaukee won almost 70% of its regular season games under Budenholzer, and he won the NBA's Coach of the Year with Milwaukee in 2019. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, once again, one of the funniest lines I've read all postseason was Mike Budenholzer standing there looking like he had bet money he didn't have on a game he didn't quite understand. That was his demeanor. What game was that, Jared? Baccarat, you said?
I said Pygal, but Baccarat is good, too. Or it's like if you bet on cricket.
Yeah.
And you're watching it, and you're like, am I winning or losing?
Right, right, exactly.
Just hit the ball.
Have you done that before, Jared?
I used to have a little bit. Anyway, let's.
I would say betting on sports that you don't watch or know about would be classified. Well, no,
I'm glad you reeled it in, Jared. That speaks highly of you.
D-backs are home. They'll be here for a while as well. They start a season-high 10-game homestand tonight against the Washington Nationals. Arizona comes into the game at 17-14, second place in the NL West, while the Nats are 13-18, last in the NL East. Merrill Kelly getting the start against Washington right-hander Josiah Gray. 6:40 first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame coverage starts on the Arizona Sports app and ESPN 620. The New York Giants are locking up defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence on a 4-year, $90 million extension with $60 million guaranteed, according to reports. Lawrence had a career-high 68 tackles and 7.5 sacks for the Giants, and was a Pro Bowler for the first time. Weird story coming out of Tucson yesterday. Arizona Wildcats quarterback Jaden Delora settled a civil lawsuit yesterday stemming from a sexual assault case that was handled in juvenile court, according to reports from Hawaii News Now. Delora and a former high school teammate settled the case with a woman who claimed she was raped by them in October of 2018 when they were all in high school. That civil case has been ongoing since December 2021. Don't know what the next step is there after the settlement, but man, he transferred to U of A before the 2022 season, and there's speculation that Arizona had no idea that that lawsuit was going on. U of A basketball picked up a transfer. Jaden Bradley, an all-SEC freshman team member at Alabama, headed west to play for head coach Tommy Lloyd. He averaged 6.4 points and 3.1 assists in 37 games for the Crimson Tide. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Florida Panthers won on the road again in Toronto. This time 3-2. They take a 2-0 series lead, headed home for game 3. Toronto led the game 2-0 in the first period, but Florida ripped off three straight goals, including goals from Alexander Barkov and Gustav Forsling, 47 seconds apart to start the second period. Dallas Stars even up their series with Seattle at 1-1 with a 4-2 win in Game 2. There you go. There's your splash for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah, it is Cinco de Mayo. How about that?
I could have some Mexican lagers here within
minutes.
Prove it.
You guys.
Prove it.
Yeah. This is where our listeners
prove it.
Need to start sending us burritos.
Coming up next, after a long wait, Game 3 is finally here. Are the Suns ready to go? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. Suns playoff coverage presented by Michelob Ultra. Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
It's huge. I mean, I think that's for anybody that steps on the floor in the playoffs. The playoffs are high-pressure situations. Every possession counts, but you can't allow that to restrict your game. And we've preached that from day one. Let it fly, 0.5. But our best offense is a stop. And when we can get stops, all that other stuff is somewhat more efficient.
It's Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, at practice yesterday, getting ready for Game 3, which is tonight at Footprint Center. But the question posed to Monty there was the importance of everybody, bench included, playing with confidence. And there's no stat for this. It's one of the few things that there's not a stat for in basketball these days, Beck. But if there was a stat that could gauge confidence level of bench players, the Suns would be off the charts in a bad way. Because none of those guys that are considered the role players, the non-core three or four, however you want to slice it, none of those guys has played with much confidence.
Yeah, I think that's going to change tonight.
I hope so.
I think being at home, I think they'll be in the moment for a while. This is going to be fascinating because for a lot of reasons. Number one, there's a lot of pressure on the Phoenix Suns, obviously, to hold serve. There's a lot of pressure now on the Phoenix Suns to replace Chris Paul. Gamble reported yesterday or said he's expecting campaign to get the starting nod. That will be interesting if that is indeed the case. And there's a lot on the line here. And I hope for this basketball team that the feeling of being at home is going to kind of fuel a swagger and a confidence that they were clearly, at least some of the guys were clearly missing in Denver. I agree with that.
Michael Malone, the opposing head coach for the Denver Nuggets, talked earlier this week about, you know, being up to and now being considered the favorite in this series and maybe the favorite to come out of the West.
The one thing I've been trying to tell her guys is everybody's so excited we're up 2-0, you know, because the Suns going into the second round are the favorites to come out of the West. I don't want our guys thinking we've done anything. All we've done is hold serve. Like, we're supposed to win two games at home. You know what I mean? So I'm not celebrating. Like, we haven't done anything yet. You know, you don't win a series in two games. So my mantra to our players is, like, we'll do something if we go down there and win Game 3. All right, now we're talking.
And that's the right messaging from Michael Malone as the coach of the Nuggets. And I do believe that is their belief going into Game 3. Hey, we haven't done anything yet. And that's how you win championships, with that mindset. But I'll tell you what, Vic, outside of Denver and outside of Phoenix, the national media, this thing's over, according to the national media, which I do find interesting. And the stats will back it up that you get down 0-2. A lot of times you don't come back. In fact, it's like 93% or something like that. But
is that high?
Yeah.
92.6%.
Wow.
Yeah. 446 series at some point in NBA history have had a 2-0 deficit, and only 33 teams will come back.
The Suns are two of those. That is brutal.
But that also shows you the pressure involved at having to hold serve after the other team does to start the series.
Yes.
It's immense. And if you can pull it off, that's what I'm looking at. If you pull it off, now you've really kind of rocked the Nuggets' boat a little bit.
Here's something weird, though. That 0-2 deficit has been overcome in the last three postseasons alone, counting this year six times.
Wow.
So six of those 33 just in the last three postseasons, including the Warriors doing it this year. And, of course, the Suns were on the bad end of that in the previous two postseasons. But, you know, before I got to the office today, I stopped and got my Friday cup of coffee. So I'm driving down the street and I have ESPN radio on, and they've got C.J. McCollum on. And he's previewing Nuggets Warriors already. It's a 2-0 series and a 1-1 series. And I think the Warriors are going to win that series. But, I don't know how able the Suns will be to tap into that we're the underdog. When they have Kevin Durant, when they have Devin Booker, like that feeling that nobody believes in us, if that's even fuel for this team.
That would be asinine. I mean, this team was the bettor's favorite going into the postseason. They're suddenly not going to feel like underdogs.
Yeah, but to Michael Malone's point, too, in that soundbite where he said going into this round, the Suns were the favorite to come out of the West. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people scratching their heads over that. Like, this team is not together. They haven't acclimated to one another. But the reason why they were is because they had Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
And they hadn't lost with Kevin Durant in the lineup going into the postseason.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, so there was a lot of reason for that. I think most statistical models, they don't look very favorably on the Suns either. 538 says the Nuggets have an 87% chance of winning the series. 87%. But that plays into the number you threw out there. Teams that get up 2-0 more often than not close out the series for a lot of reasons. You get up 2-0 because you're a much better team. You get up 2-0 because you've got a really good home court advantage, and the pressure of being down 0-2 makes the other team collapse. There's a lot of elements. A lot of stuff the Suns have to repel. This is about doing exactly what you said as a basketball team, planting that proverbial flag in the ground and saying, no. Oh, this isn't over, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what tonight's about.
And game three is where it all lies. You can't fall behind 3-0. If you do that, Sunday might be an exhibition match. Or it might be prolonged to five games, but you're not coming back from 0-3 down.
No.
You get a game tonight, and you do it in a sturdy fashion. Not only do you get on the board, but you might plant a seed of doubt in the Nuggets, who look like a very confident team, and they should be a confident team. They haven't been as good on the road, but it completely changes the complexion of the series.
I say this every single year because it is true every single year. There is no substitute for desperation in the NBA playoffs because it is directly tied to how hard you play defense, how fast you run, all of that stuff, how manic you play, and it has a real effect on a basketball court. We've seen two examples of home teams that have lost game one of the playoffs, and they've rebounded exactly the way you would expect them to rebound, with blowout victories. That's because desperation, not so much that it's the combo platter. The team that's down feels it. The team that's up doesn't feel it so much. So what are the Nuggets going to feel tonight? That's going to be part of the deal. Are they going to feel sated? Are they going to feel greedy? Do they think the Suns are vulnerable? Are they mature enough to play with something close to the desperation they played with in game one? We're going to find all that out. This is why I don't think this thing is over yet. I just do not trust the Denver Nuggets as a competitive juggernaut.
Yes. Show me you can be that before I trust you in doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need Suns fans to rally the Valley more than ever for Game 3 and Game 4. Text ticket to 620-620. Listen for your name today, 7 a.m., noon, and 5 o'clock hours for your chance to qualify for Game 3 and Game 4 tickets to see the Suns take on the Nuggets. Once again, that's ticket to 620-620. Coming up next, if the Suns get on the board tonight, they'll have to do it without Chris Paul. How well can CP15 fill in for CP3? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. Suns playoff coverage presented by Michelob Ultra. Bickley and Marotta talk Suns Nuggets now.
I mean, that definitely gives me a lot of confidence. But like I said earlier, man, I'm just geeked to be out there. I'm just ready to go. I think all the things I do is something that I can help my team win, just like back then. My speed and all the things like that. So I just want to come just make sure I'm ready. That's it.
That's Cameron Payne earlier this week talking about being geeked to be out there, and he's going to be out there a lot more starting tonight. Chris Paul on the shelf. Suns made it official yesterday. Not a surprise with the groin strain. He's out for game three at least. So Gambo put it out there yesterday. He's hearing that Cameron Payne will be the starter at the point guard. And this is where it gets interesting because there's a whole lot of unknown with what you're going to get from Cameron Payne. There's been examples in the past, and people will point to the last time Chris Paul did not play at all in a playoff game for the Suns, game two of the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers in 2021.
Yeah.
Cameron Payne was unbelievable in that game. 29 points, 9 assists, Suns win by 1. That was the Valley Oop game. Since then, you know, being relegated to bench minutes in 26 playoff games, Cameron Payne has not been great. Since then, 4.8 points, 2.1 assists, shooting 34% and 24% from three-point range.
But none of that matters. What matters now is that he rises to the moment. That's what matters here, and he's done it before. Yes. So you're right. I don't think that people can look at his recent results and feel really great. You wouldn't bet on catching lightning in a bottle here, but we've seen this from campaign before. These are extenuating circumstances where you're asking a professional athlete, hey, you know what? You want a chance? You got it, man. You got it.
The one thing that does give me hope, and I know regular season basketball is a much different animal than playoff basketball.
Yeah.
But Cameron Payne's productivity and success seems to be tied to how much playing time he gets. He had 15 starts this year. And the Suns went, you know, 9-6 in those starts. His numbers were pretty decent. And he's going to be out there quite a bit. There's got to be other adjustments, and we'll see what those adjustments are. It's been hinted at by Monty Williams. You'll see some T.J. Warren, maybe some Terrence Ross minutes. But the biggest one is biggest ones is how Cameron Payne responds to this, the added responsibility.
Are you surprised that this is the decision they made to start him? Because we talked about the other possibilities of maybe starting, you know, Okogie and Craig, Okogie and Damian Lee.
Well, we're assuming Gambo's got accurate information, number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it is accurate information, am I surprised? Maybe a little bit. But I think maybe it's kind of what we're talking around right here. It's not only, okay, Cam, we're going to need you a little bit this game. It's, Cam, you're going to be the guy now.
Yeah.
And see how he reacts to that. Because you're gonna need a big chunk of something to replace Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And it's clear that maybe I still think the best play is Devin Booker at point guard. I think there is probably concern about, you know what, if we weren't and hadn't logged so many crazy minutes with those two guys, maybe that would be more of a viable option.
Going back to Jarrett's original question, are you surprised that this was the decision to start campaign? No. I will be very surprised in a late game, close game situation if campaign is out on the floor.
Yeah.
That's when you'll see Devin Booker at the point.
So this is, I feel bad for Chris Paul, but I am not, you know, that is not universal. I don't know if you guys saw Woody Page's column today in the Denver Gazette. Headline, Nuggets will out cheap shot artist CP3 and the Suns from the playoffs. Devoted a whole column documenting Chris Paul's legacy as a dirty basketball player. Called him Babe Ruthless.
Hey, step off.
Step on. Yeah, Woody, come on. We've got that trademarked.
We didn't talk about that. The end of game, it was the end of game one, I think, when Chris Paul had the collision with Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that play?
It was dirty. Yeah. It happened right in front of me.
There was a purpose there.
Oh, yeah. He ran right at him shoulder first. Yeah, it was dirty. It was Chris Paul. It was Chris Paul-esque, you know? And but that's you can see that coming with him when he gets frustrated in the game. We've said this a lot about Chris Paul. He's one of the rare guys that when he gets steamed, he seems to play better, but he's also vulnerable to that.
Yes.
To taking physical liberties with guys.
Well, and that came at a very frustrating stretch of the game for the Suns, too.
Yeah.
He's also very good at making it somewhat look like a basketball play.
Yeah, no. Oh, he's
well, he's a veteran.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Well, this whole column was, it was staggering to me. Woody said there are more than 24 documented examples of Chris Paul playing dirty dating back to college. At least 7 of them include punches to the nether region. That's some research you did there today, Woody.
Yeah, and Woody's not wrong. The first, I mean, Chris Paul, when he burst on the scene as a college player at Wake Forest, that's one of the first things I remember is the nether region punching incident. I think it came against Duke. And it made national headlines, and everybody was talking about Chris Paul.
Oh, well.
He's ours.
Right. Well, listen, but again, so I just think for a guy who's not even playing in this, it's curious, though, but this is, you know, that's the one of the bleeding voices in Denver.
We have a moral obligation to punch him in the balls.
Exactly, Charles. Exactly. So this is going to be a big opportunity for campaign to get back a lot of what he has lost over the past couple seasons, you know? You come in and you handle this and you put one of those games together, and we know he's capable of it. We've seen it. We know he'll play fast. We know he'll play fearless. At least he better. And I really think that his pace is going to change the way this series looks. I'm not going to get off that horse.
Yeah, and Monty Williams talked about that too yesterday.
We're hopeful that a few adjustments to the lineup, not just campaign, but couple of the guys that play in .5, space the floor a little bit more, can help us. But for sure, campaign, his ability to get down the floor and get into stuff quickly certainly helps. It really helps when you're able to get the stops like we did in the first half, where I don't think we gave up an offensive rebound. We gave up 5 in the third quarter, and that kind of slowed us down a little bit. So once we get the ball, to your point, guys like Cam can get down the floor, and even Book, Kevin for that matter. I don't think we've had as many hit-ahead passes like we did in the Clippers series, so we have to be cognizant of that and try to get the ball down there with the pass. Not only dribbling the ball, but maybe the pass is a better way to create that pace.
Yeah, we'll see. The pace has been sticky at times, certainly. That was by design in game 2 to try to muck it up and slow things down, and the Suns nearly pulled it off.
Isn't the play they want to play faster thing such a weird thing? Because they've talked about it a lot all year, including Chris Paul himself saying that he needs to play faster.
Yeah.
And yet he just won't do it. He just can't do it, I guess, anymore.
Well, it's just he likes to be deliberate bringing the ball up the court. And basically what happens is in the playoffs, defense is at such a level, you need more time per possession in the half court to get a good shot. It's not like the regular season. Your first option is in the NBA, your first option is probably going to be open because guys are half-assing it on defense. That's not the case in the playoffs.
No.
You have to probably get to your second, maybe your third, and then you might have to scramble for a fourth. You need time for that. So I think that's what they're looking to kind of effort here.
Yeah. Kevin Durant was asked what he'll personally miss the most with no CP3 on the floor.
Another ball handler, somebody that can control the offense and create for us and himself. It's always tough, you know, missing a guy like that can do multiple things on the floor. So we're going to have to do it as a group.
I'll tell you what, going back to Monday night in game 2, when Paul leaves the floor, Cameron Payne comes in. He comes in, and he's probably on the floor for 30 seconds, and he hits that first jumper.
Mm-hmm.
There was that feeling of reassurance, like, okay, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then the whole offense shut down.
It's true. Yeah, it's very, very true. I do think, though, this is going to be fascinating because here's this clashing of ideals again, the .5 offense. Okay, so really now this is what the offense is going to be? If Terrence Ross gets the ball, shoot it every time? Is that what we're doing here? Gonna find out.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out.
Again, Cameron Payne is a starter this year. 15 games, 30 minutes, averaged just under 15 points, 7 assists, shot almost 41%, 38% from 3-point range.
Pretty similar to Chris Paul's.
Not bad numbers. I mean, the assists are down, but a little bit more on the scoring than what you got. So we'll see what it all looks like tonight. No doubt about it. Coming up next, big change in Milwaukee. A championship-winning coach shown the door. We'll get into all of it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
This is a coach who won nearly 70% of his games with the Bucks, but I think this is an organization now ready to hit the reset button. They are in the middle of a championship window with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Certainly at the center of all that, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, potential free agents this offseason.
Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN with the news yesterday. There'd been a lot of smoke turned into fire. Literally, fired.
Fire.
Mike Budenholzer fired by the Milwaukee Bucks after 5 years, a very successful 5-year stint. You heard it there. Regular season, nearly 70% winning percentage, which is ridiculous. Won a championship. Milwaukee's not exactly stocking up championships in the NBA, but this is a reminder of how short the leash is for head coaches in today's, not just the NBA, but really professional sports-wise.
Yeah. The stat we threw out there earlier, three of the last four championship-winning coaches are now out of work. Frank Vogel, Nick Nurse, and now Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Nick
this
Nurse
is,
might end up in Mike Budenholzer's office, by the way.
Yeah, could happen. Yeah, so I think that I shared the anecdote that even when the Bucks won the championship, there was a great deal of dissatisfaction around Mike Budenholzer.
Yes.
A great deal. To the point where I couldn't even believe it. So
those couple of years before they won the championship, he was on the hot seat that he wasn't getting the most out of the talent.
Right, right. So he's one of those guys, sort of like Steve Fisher in Michigan, wins a championship and gets job security only because you can't fire the guy.
Yes.
And that's kind of happened to Mike Budenholzer. And I shared that anecdote. I'll never forget as long as I leave the morning after the Bucks win the NBA championship, just getting in a cab, going back to the airport to come back to downtrodden Phoenix. And the cab driver was ticked that they won because it meant they had to keep Mike Budenholzer. And it's like, really, dude? That's how thick the contempt was for him in some places.
I started thinking about it, though, Bic, and then tying it locally. Even, I can't think of a coach, and I've lived here most of my life, and I've followed sports very closely, both as a fan and in this profession for a very long time, and I can't think of a coach that left beloved in Arizona. Bruce Arians is probably the closest to it, but he had worn on so many people at that point.
Yeah, it's really is a fascinating thing, and it's really, really unfortunate. It's really just sort of the cyclical nature of professional sports. We've had a handful of coaches who have come into the Valley, and their personalities are so great, you want them to have the job forever. Bob Brenly, Bruce Arians, Monty Williams,
Mike D'Antoni, Kirk Gibson.
Yes, you could one after you could rattle one after
and
another.
They are beloved.
Yes.
For a few years,
and then the team goes through the cycle, and they do change because they start getting hated, and it creates a lot of negative energy, and it wears them down. Then they all eventually get fired because that's generally that's the arc of the professional coach. It's sad. It really is.
Mike D'Antoni is a name that probably, if you had a gauge on his Q rating at his exit, was probably the highest. Would you agree? There was a lot of people upset that he was moving on.
Yeah, I think maybe.
But there is also people that were like, they need to do something different, and they sort of viewed D'Antoni as being stubborn,
not willing to do
what they needed to sort of take the next step.
Yeah, and there was so much anger by the time that team had lost, four chances to win a championship, and at the time, Steve Kerr was the GM, and he was saying, we need to get better on defense, then Mike D'Antoni would go, no, I think the problem is on offense. Shut up, Jared! I think the problem is on offense. Shut up, Jared! So, and at that point, people were like, ooh, there's a real serious divide in this organization. You're absolutely right. And here's Monty Williams in this position as well. And in terms of his public demeanor, I've seen Monty get a little more jagged, a little more biting.
Salty,
good word, yes. And it's a combination of things. So how does this apply to Monty Williams? There's some people who, he's fine. He's got job security. We don't know. Nobody knows. You know this. You work there.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's coming.
No.
Nobody knows who's going to be doing what jobs next
year. Ownership
from
comes
broadcasters
in.
To PR to PA to all. Yes.
Wait, do you know something?
No. But no, and again, this is not unique to the Suns. This is what happens when there's a sale. And it occurred to me that is probably part of why Robert Sarver gifted that money as a farewell present to the people still working there, was that he probably knew, okay, as a consequence of me having to sell this team, there's going to be some people who lose their jobs that otherwise shouldn't. But that's just what happens when a new dude comes in and buys a sports franchise.
Well, guess what? Milwaukee went through half of a new ownership group. Jimmy Haslam is now co-owner with Mark Lazary. And maybe that was part of the outside perspective. It's like, we've got the greatest player in the world. This guy's a specimen. We got one championship in 5 years. That's not enough.
No, right.
So I understand that side of it. On the flip side, It's Milwaukee. Again, it's not, they're not a traditional NBA powerhouse. How high is the standard?
Well,
how greedy have they become?
I do think
it's a travesty that they're out in the first round.
Yeah.
I picked them to win the championship. When I saw them play the Suns a couple times, you're like, wow, this team is loaded. They
totally
have so
agree.
Much depth, yeah. And they had Giannis.
Yeah.
And Mike Budenholzer's coaching in the Miami series was atrocious.
It
and
was when brutal. Giannis
especially
comes
the game,
out and says,
the final game.
Yeah. When Giannis comes out and says, I really kind of wish I had an opportunity to guard their best player. Is that truck, is a bus heavy on your chest, Mike?
Let's back it up. Yeah.
I think, though, exactly the way you started that, though, the reason is it's because
that's
they have
exactly
the best
why.
Player in the NBA. Yeah.
And tick-tock, they
exactly.
can't waste any more time.
Again,
and
you want to play that locally?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know what happens the rest of this series,
no.
the rest of the postseason for the Suns, but the Phoenix Suns have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Yes. They do.
So a lot of those same things we just talked about could potentially apply.
To me, and again, just not to put too fine of a point on it, I know Isaiah Thomas is not working for the organization, but he's spending a lot of time around the team in these games, and I think his advice means an awful lot to Matt Ishbia, and I think what Isaiah Thomas sees and thinks about this coaching staff and regime is going to have a big, big factor in what this thing looks like going forward. And if they lose two basketball games over the weekend, it might be ugly. Here on Monday, folks.
I mean, that would be 2 years in a row mm-hmm. that they exited yeah. as the mm-hmm. you know the even though they're not the higher seed this year, they were the you know the odds-on favorite to win the championship.
But again, this
and
is also.
This
but then you've got to step back and also say, okay, you know what? There's a reason why this kind of major surgery at the trade deadline has never been attempted before. There's so many moving pieces, and the Suns really had. Did they have any shot at building a bench around Kevin Durant and Devin Booker? When you're making this deal at the deadline, I
no,
don't know.
No,
and there's also the thing, you know, you point out the Giannis quote. The players have been nothing but supportive of Monty. It's not like they've started to turn on him at all.
Well,
there was the weird thing.
I don't know how you can say that.
With Ayton,
I don't know how you can say that after what you saw in last year's playoffs. I'm not necessarily sure that there's the connectivity that once existed.
Fair enough.
But I don't think it's bad. I'm not sure it's as great as it once was, but I don't think it's bad. Go ahead.
Can I be selfish and frivolous for a second?
Sure.
Going back to what you said.
For
you don't know
second.
What changes are coming, you know, in PA. I got to tell this personal story.
Right. Oh.
In the last 3 months, I've had two different people who I don't know reach out to me specifically on LinkedIn. Said, I'm a PA announcer. I've done this. I would love to work for the Suns. If there's anything you can do to help me get that.
That is
like,
fantastic.
Here's
that
an answer.
Is fantastic.
No,
here's your answer.
How brazen can you be?
And again, I didn't mean to bring you into this. I'm just saying, in general, this is reality. A new owner came in midway through a season. He's not going to affect changes that he wants to make right now, but it's going to happen next year.
Well, I mean, his first move was trading the two most beloved players of the franchise
exactly.
for a superstar.
Exactly.
So it's not exactly like he already, you know, he's going to make his mark
and
bigger than that.
You know he's
going to
be aggressive.
And there's
right.
already new major players in that front office in place.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a new CEO. There's
right.
other high-ranking executives
yeah.
that have been placed since he took over. There's,
television changes.
Yes. Yeah. There's one real easy solution. Win a championship. Win two games this weekend.
Yeah, and that like the Mike Budenholzer example, win a championship that'll buy you two more years of security.
Yep. Exactly.
Two more years. Yeah.
Coming up next, there's a lot of Suns that are under the microscope down 0-2. We'll focus on one of them. His name, DeAndre Ayton. Next, it's Pickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.